2 Kings chapter number 2. We've been teaching through the life of Elijah on Wednesday nights, and I think I doubled up and did some Sunday nights along the way, and we'll watch Elijah transported to heaven tonight. And what a beautiful story. This is a beautiful chapter, so much to learn. I think after this, I'd like to do one more lesson on the life of Elijah. I'd like to teach on Elijah in the New Testament. Very interesting to look at where he's mentioned and how he's mentioned and referred back to from the New Testament. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1. If you can, stand with me for the reading of the Bible tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither, hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this study of a wonderful man of God. As the Bible tells us, a man of like passions as we are. And Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for his life, his example, all the things that we can learn from him. Lord, I pray that this study has been profitable for all of us. Lord, we're going to watch a miracle. Thank you for the miracles of the Bible. And Lord, we believe it. We believe every single miracle that is written in the Word of God. And what a wonderful way to go to heaven. Just pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. We studied this chapter. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for standing. I appreciate it. 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 8. We're going to break it into three parts tonight. First of all, the journey to Jordan. The journey to Jordan. It's interesting to watch Elijah and Elisha head from Gilgal to Jordan. And not only what is discussed between them, but these sons of the prophets that are waiting in Bethel and then waiting in Jericho, and what they say to Elisha. So we have the journey to Jordan, and then we have the crossing of Jordan. a miracle, as I mentioned in my prayer, I believe all the miracles of the Bible. I don't try to excuse them away. I don't try to explain them away. You know why people that don't believe the Bible hate the miracles of the Bible, mock the miracles of the Bible? Because, folks, you got to understand, if you don't want to believe in God and you want to put your trust in science instead, the miracles just kind of blow all that to smithereens. And, you know, anything can be explained away because of miracles. They say, well, that can't happen. Well, it can with God. For with God, nothing is impossible. And that's why you'll hear from time to time, young people, I'm warning you ahead of time, throughout your life, from time to time, you'll hear people attack the miracles of the Bible and try to dissuade you from believing the miracles of the Bible. Remember, they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it for a reason. Because if they have to believe in the miracles of the Bible, then they have to believe in the God of all miracles. And so the crossing of the Jordan. And then we'll watch the translation of Elijah as he's carried away into heaven. So that's kind of where we're going. We'll look at the first seven verses first, the journey to Jordan. Now, on this trip, three times, very interesting, three times Elijah asks Elisha to stay behind. And by the way, he doesn't command him to do it. He uses the phrase, I pray thee. And that word, that little phrase there is like, I'm asking you. Prayer is asking, by the way, folks. So he's not commanding him to stay, but he's giving him an opportunity to stay behind. So three times Elijah asks Elisha to stay behind, or at least gives him the opportunity. By the way, I love Elisha's answer. Three times Elisha refuses to be separated from Elijah. You know why? Because when way back 15 years earlier, when Elijah threw that mantle on Elisha, and he revealed to him his purpose in life and God's call on his life, you know what he did from that day forward? He stuck to it. He stuck with it. You know what? God allowed me to be the servant of Elijah. And I'm not going to be a servant faithful for all these 15 years. And then right here towards the end, I'm going to just disappear on. I'm going to stay faithful to the end. And so Elisha refuses to be separated from Elijah. Elijah asked him to stay in Gilgal. Here's Elisha's answer. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And then Elijah asked him to stay. When they get to Bethel again, gives him an opportunity to stay behind. Elisha gives him the exact same answer, same exact words. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Listen, God may take you away from me, but you know what? I'm not leaving you till that happens. And because that had what is what God called him to do. Again, Elisha answers, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And then they arrive at Jericho. Elijah then suggests that he stay there while Elijah travels alone to Jordan. Then Elisha refuses. Again, Elisha refuses. And so you think about that, folks. You know, there was one other time that Elijah, I was thinking about this, had a servant. And if you'll remember, it's the beginning of chapter number 19. Remember the prayer meeting on the mountain where he kept sending that servant to check? But you know, when Elijah went down to the brook, went down to sit under the juniper tree when he was at the worst place in his life, he told his servant, you stay here. And that servant stayed there and he went by himself underneath the juniper tree. And you know what's funny? But at the end of that chapter, God didn't say, go back and get that servant. You know, not the one that was willing to be parted from you, not the one that wouldn't follow you when you needed him the most. You know what? You take your mantle and throw it on another guy, because I know the character of this young man. And you know what? No matter where I take you, he'll stick with you. And so I thought that was interesting. I thought about that. Twice the sons of the prophet on this journey. Interesting. I don't want to be too judgmental of these sons of the prophets, but there's just, I guess I've known enough people in my life that I got a preconceived notion about these guys, you know. You got Elisha who will not be separated from Elijah. Elisha that wants to walk in the shadow of Elijah and will not be separated from Elijah. And then you've got these sons of the prophets. And by the way, I want to say this, because of what Elijah was willing to do on Mount Carmel, they're no longer hiding in caves. I mean, when he goes to Bethel, there's sons of the prophets there. They're not hiding in a cave. When he gets to Jericho, the sons of the prophets come out and talk to Elisha. But it's almost like, you know, they were willing to follow Elijah, but they wanted to follow him from a distance. They wanted to follow him from a ways, you know. Not Elisha. There's a difference here. And then what they're so concerned about here. Now, folks, it says in the very first verse, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. And so, and it says by a whirlwind. So I don't know exactly if God told Elijah this. I'm assuming he did. I'm assuming maybe Elijah told Elisha, because Elisha said, I know it's going to happen today. I know it's going to happen today. And apparently word had gotten out, because you know what, they're Baptist, and if one person knows, everybody knows. And so a lot of chit-chatting, talking. Did you hear? And then here he comes into town with Elijah. And if you know that Elijah's being taken today, then why aren't you over there with Elijah? I mean, if I knew it was his last day on earth, I think I'd say, Elijah, would you put your hands on me and pray for me? Elijah, is there any parting bits of wisdom that you could give us? Elijah, thank you so much for standing for God all these years. Thank you when the rest of us wouldn't climb that Mount Carmel. You climb that Mount Carmel. I'm sorry, but they sound like, I'm not trying to pick on you ladies, but sound like a bunch of gossiping little junior high girls, you know, and they're just kind of following from afar. And then Elisha must get a little ways away from Elijah. They come over. Did you hear? Do you know this? You know that God's going to take your master away? He's like, I like his answer. He said, yes, I know. Shut up. That's what he said. I mean, okay, I might have translated a little bit different there. But he says, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, what are you doing? What are you talking? I'm sorry. There are a lot of guys, all they ever do is talk. There are a lot of guys in ministry, all they ever do is talk. All they ever do is gossip about what everybody else is doing. You know, I don't know. I think I want to be an Elisha. And maybe I'm being overly harsh. I have to apologize to these guys. I don't know. But what are you doing here? And Elisha just shuts them down. What are you over there sitting around, you know, talking? Why aren't you over there trying to learn something? If you really believe it's his last day, why aren't you getting a little wisdom from, by the way, Why aren't you following in his shadow? Now, folks, one of the things I'm going to say about Elisha, and I'm just going to say this because I've lived it. I don't want to watch the miracles of God from afar. I don't want to follow godly men from afar. Okay, I don't want to be up in the cheap seats watching what's happening. I want to be down on the field where the action is. And I made up my mind as a young preacher that, you know what, I wasn't going to follow men of God from afar. I was gonna walk in their shadow. Okay, I wasn't gonna sit over here in a group of young preachers talking about the older preachers. I'm gonna go over there with the older preacher and talk to him and ask him questions and glean from him. And you know, that's good for preachers. That's good advice for each and every one of us. You know, good night, folks. You know, what are they doing here? And so they do this twice. The sons of the prophets approach Elisha on this journey to tell him that the Lord will take Elijah away. You know that. He's going to take away your head. You know this. And he tells them that he knows it. He tells them to stop talking about it. So 50 of these sons of the prophets followed them. Then when we get down to Jordan, 50 of the sons of the prophets followed them. The Bible says they stopped to view afar off as they stand by the Jordan River, but they don't cross it over with them. And by the way, did any of them catch the mantle? Please listen to this preacher. Get as close to men of God and godly men as you can. Stay close to them. Listen to them. Ask them questions. Build a good relationship with them. Elisha, I'm going to say this at the end of this when I kind of give our final lessons. Folks, I'm not talking about man worship. Anytime you start talking about, you know, this idea of learning from men or being loyal to men, you're going to have some little rebel accuse you of being a man worshiper. And yet my King James Bible shows me over and over again that, hey, Jeremiah said, I will go to the great men and learn of them. They've known the ways of the Lord. And while everybody else is over there gossiping about the older generation and the old preachers, I'm going to be standing with the old preachers, getting every bit of wisdom out of them I possibly can. And so I see a contrast here that I think is kind of interesting. So we see the journey to the Jordan River. Okay, so now in verse number 8, we get there. We're at the Jordan River, the crossing of the Jordan River. Elijah took his mantle, Bible says, wrapped it together. Verse number 8, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. What that means is they went that way and that way. All right. And by the way, So they went over on what kind of ground there? It reminds you of another story? Wasn't there another time the Jordan River was split like this? And, you know, I got to thinking about that first time that the Jordan River was split. And that was after 40 years of wandering into the wilderness. They came to the Jordan River, and it wasn't Moses. He wasn't allowed to take them over. But you know what? Joshua did. And remember, they're going from Jericho now. Think about this. They crossed over the Jordan River. Think about this. West to east. They crossed over from the wilderness, crossed the Jordan River. I'm talking about the children of Israel, to Jericho. That was their first battle. He's leaving Jericho, crossing the Jordan River, and going to the other side. And you say, why of all places did God say, that's where I'm going to pick you up, okay? That's where I'm going to take you. I think that this is symbolic. I think it's more symbolic for Elisha than it is Elijah. Because you know what, if you think about it, folks, leaving Egypt is a picture of salvation, going through the Red Sea, picture of baptism. Wilderness journey is a picture of the life of the new convert, the early Christian life. Some things we all have to go through and grow through. And then the Jordan River is a picture of the victorious Christian life and going into the will of God and winning battles for God. And it's almost like Elijah brought this young preacher all the way. Come on, think about it. Brought him all the way on this side of Jordan and said, now this is where I'm going to catch a ride. And by the way, you know what? The same God that parted that river to get us on this side, he's the same God that can part the river to get you back on the other side. And son, you know what? It's time for you to cross this river. It's time for you to go into the victorious Christian life. You've been a good servant for 15 years. Hey, son, if you see me go up and you catch my mantle, God's going to give you what you ask for. So I thought that was just kind of interesting, the direction of it. So by the time we get to this story, how many times has the Jordan River been split? Three different times in the history of the world, the Jordan River's been split. And so two of it was on the same afternoon. What do you think about that? And so there we see that, the miraculous parting of the Jordan River. And so once we get across, we see the miraculous parting, and we see a question that's asked by Elijah. And I love this. He asks this question. He says, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. And I thought about that. Here's been a young man that's been faithful. Here's a young man that's been willing to be a servant. Here's a young man that refused to be separated from Elijah. Here's a young man that's been 100% true to his calling. And you know what? When it came time for Elijah to leave, he turned around, looked at Elisha and said, What can I do for you before I leave? What do you need? What do you want? And ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And in verse number 9, we see Elisha's answer. He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. A double portion of thy spirit. Of all the things that Elisha could have asked, he asked for a double portion of thy spirit. Elijah's spirit be upon him. I couldn't help but think about, I just kind of went back and looked at all of the different lessons that we've taught on Elijah. And I thought, okay, he didn't say a double portion of the spirit of God. Although I believe that the spirit that was upon Elijah was the spirit of the Lord. But this is a small s here. This is the spirit of Elijah, obviously influenced by the spirit of God. But I got to thinking about, remember when we first introduced you to Elijah? And I said, who is he? And you know what? We don't have much information. Just kind of a nobody that all of a sudden burst upon the scene. A somebody, a nobody that God made a somebody. And I thought he had a humble spirit. And so you know what Elisha was saying? I've been with you for 15 years. I've watched your humility. Give me a double portion of that humble spirit. And then I thought about, you know what? When God commanded him to go by the creek and I'll feed you there. And then after that dried up, he told him to go to the widow's house. You know what? Elijah, he had an obedient spirit. Whatever the Lord told him, whether it made sense or not, he decided he was just going to obey the Lord. And I love this. Okay, sometimes we think about double portion of the spirit. We'll get to the power of God here in a minute. But folks, you know what? Some of the best spirits that we ought to be seeking a double portion of has nothing to do with calling down fire from heaven. It has to do with humility. A spirit of obedience. How about that supernatural spirit that Elijah tapped into when the widow's son died? And you know what? God used Elijah to bring him back to life. I think Elisha said, if I could help people the way you helped that lady, you know, maybe a double portion of a servant's heart, a helpful spirit, a spirit that's there to help and comfort and get people through tough times. And then, of course, we're going to follow Elijah. We can't leave out Mount Carmel. And there's that courageous spirit. I talked about the courageous prophet that day, the four prophets of Mount Carmel. And Elijah was the courageous prophet. And I think that Elisha said, you know what? There's going to be times I need courage. Can I get a double portion of the courage that allowed you to walk up a mountain by yourself, face down 850 prophets of Baal and prophets of the groves, and call down fire from heaven and stand for the Lord? I'd like to get a double portion of that. And then we think about his prayer when he prayed down fire from heaven. We think about the prayer that ended a drought. And I thought, you know what? I think maybe Elisha thought, if I could get a double portion of that prayerful spirit, well, wouldn't this be good for all of us to seek? Give me a double portion, Lord, of humility. Give me a double portion of obedience. Give me a double portion of comfort and a supernatural way of helping people. Give me a double portion of courage when I need courage, prayerfulness when I need prayerfulness. And by the way, you know what? We can go to 1 Kings 19 because, boy, that kind of pulled back the curtain. And Elijah hit the wall and he stumbled and fell. By the way, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. And you know what? God restored his spirit that day. Remember we talked about that? And maybe Elisha thought, you know, there's going to be times, Lord, when I'm going to get knocked down. Now, give me a double portion of that restored spirit when I need it. And folks, let me just say that. Yeah, every one of us is going to stumble and fall. And you don't judge any other Christian on their worst day. Do you want to be judged on your worst day? Then don't judge any other Christian on their worst day. Okay, we're all going to stumble and fall. The Bible says a just man, not an evil man, not a wicked man, not a disobedient man, someone who's trying to do the right thing. A just man will fall seven times but rise up again. And young people, listen, one of these days, you know what? It's not because you wanted to. It's not because you meant to. Not because you ever dreamed you would. But you could just take a hard fall. And you know what? That don't make you a failure. The only thing that can make you a failure is refusing to get back up. And so, you know what? I think he looked at that. So many things. And then I think that Elisha followed Elijah for those 15 years. And you know what he watched? He watched him be a faithful prophet of the Lord. How about giving me a faithful spirit? Give me a double portion of the faithful spirit, you know. And then when he had to stand up and face Ahab and Jezebel because of the crime they committed against Naboth, you know what? He had a righteous spirit, an uncompromising spirit. He called him out on it. He said, give me a double portion of that also. And then Elijah, remember when they sent the captain with the 50 and then fire from heaven? And I think about this bold spirit. When he needed to stand, he stood. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good list there. And I think Elisha was around Elijah enough to say, I've watched your humility. I've watched your obedience. I've watched you comfort people. I've watched you be courageous when you needed to and pray when you needed to. And when you got knocked down, you got back up and you've been faithful and righteous and bold. And Lord, if I could just get a double portion of that, then you know what? Maybe my life could have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ, for Almighty God. So Elijah's response was this. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now, interesting, because in the next verse, the chariot's going to come get him. But you know what? I think Elisha, as soon as he told him that, he said, okay, you know what? If you see me when I'm taken up, you're going to get what you asked for. If you don't. Now, if he wasn't already determined not to leave his side, you tried to ditch me at Gilgal. That didn't work. Tried to ditch me at Bethel. That didn't work. Tried to ditch me Jericho. It didn't work. And we crossed over Jordan. Now you just told me. Now, if you see me when I'm taken up, then you know what? You'll get what you want. I think right then Elisha, something clicked in his head. And he said, I'm not taking my eyes off this guy. I don't know if it's going to be an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 10 days, 12 days. I don't care. I'm not going to sleep. I'm watching this guy because I want what I want a double portion. Elisha would not have had this opportunity. Let me just remind you folks of some things. Okay, this is exciting what Elisha's going to, what's going to happen here on this side of Jordan. But Elisha wouldn't have had this opportunity if he had stayed at Gilgal. He wouldn't have had this opportunity if he stayed at Bethel. Oh, I think as I've watched Christians just quit on God, and I think, what did they miss in the future? Listen, I know sometimes it's not easy. I know sometimes that the devil attacks, and I know sometimes you can get discouraged. I mean, he did. Elijah did. But if he'd have stayed back at Bethel, he wouldn't have had this opportunity. If he'd have stayed at Jericho, he wouldn't have had this opportunity. He had this opportunity because he was loyal to Elijah. He had this opportunity because he was willing to kiss his father and mother goodbye, remember that, and do the will of God. He had this opportunity because he burned his plow and offered his bullock upon the altar. He would not have had this opportunity had he hung back with the little gossiping 50 sons of the prophets and stood at afar off. He wouldn't have had this opportunity. He had this opportunity because he stayed in the shadow of God's man. Now we're at verse number 11. We're going to watch the end of the story here. The translation or transportation of Elijah. Verse 11, it came to pass as they went still on and talked that behold, there appeared. You all got a pretty good imagination. Come on. I think God's gifted us with all of this. Can you put yourself in Elijah and Elisha's shoes here for just a minute? Here's Elisha just following. The Bible says as they went on and talked, so they're just taking a stroll, walking and talking. I don't know what they're talking about. I wish I could have listened in. I think it'd have been interesting. The last few things Elijah said to Elisha. You know, some things that are said between two people probably ought to stay between those two people. There's some things my dad said towards the last few weeks of his life. I haven't shared with anybody. You know, there's some things that ought to just be precious and private to you. And God, even God doesn't reveal everything, you know. But it'd been interesting. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can get them to open up about that. But as they went on, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Now, I don't know what your mind paints, and I'm not going to try to interfere with your imagination. I think all of us got a little bit of a picture of what we see coming down. Can you imagine that? They're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, I don't know if the clouds part. All of a sudden, at first, they both just kind of stop in their tracks, and maybe Elisha takes a half step back and thinks, what in the world is going on? And maybe Elijah takes a half step forward. You know something I've been noticing, and we witnessed it again this week? You know, when it's time for your chariot to come, God gets you ready for it. I've watched this, folks, without fail, that when a Christian, when it's their time to go, they're not running from the chariot, they're running to it. I remember in the last few months of my mom's life, going by her house, and she'd say, Jerry, before you leave, would you just pray the Lord to take me soon? Yeah. Why does somebody pray that? Any of you pray that today? What's wrong, you backsliders? What in the world? Don't you want to see Jesus? Come on now. No, they're not praying it because, you know what? It's not their time. God hasn't prepped them. But isn't it interesting that the older we get, folks, it just seems like that veil that hides the unseen world from the seen world, you know, the visible from the invisible. I don't know. It just seems like it gets a little thinner. And I'm not talking about spooky stuff. I'm just saying that it just gets a little more real. The more of our loved ones that we see cross over the other side, a little more longing. You know, look around this world, folks. They don't really hold much traction for Jerry Ross at all anymore. Just doesn't. I'm glad to be here. Love my family. Love the opportunity to serve God. But I know what Paul talked about when he said, you know, I'm kind of torn here. I'm kind of twinked to set mindsets here. I mean, to be here is probably more profitable for y'all. But honestly, there's a part of me that I'm ready to go home. And so, you know, that should be an encouragement. Because, folks, there's saving grace, think about this, and then there's living grace, and then there's dying grace. And I know sometimes people can be fearful of death and, you know, and all of that, but I think the closer you get to it, the more you're going to really experience that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And just, come on, Lord. That what Dad was doing? Come on. Come on, Lord. At some point, it's like, I kind of picture, doesn't say this, Elisha going like this and Elijah going like this. Amen. All I know is there's enough room between them for him to go between them, because it says it right there. So somebody stepped forward and someone stepped back, parted them both asunder. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Boy, that must have been something to see. Wow. Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What a way to go to heaven. God chose to take Elijah to heaven in a manner that's never happened before or since then. Wow, that was a one-off. You know, God sent a chariot of fire pulled by horses of fire, and Elijah disappeared into a whirlwind, then upward into heaven. You know what? That'd be pretty neat. I can only think of one other way that might be better to go to heaven than that, and that's to hear that trumpet sound one of these days, amen? And I think we might even have one up on Elijah to have Jesus meet us in the clouds. Wouldn't that be something? I would have loved to be in heaven. On the other side, I got thinking Elijah getting picked up on earth, and I got thinking about God on his throne. And I just see that old chariot sliding to a stop right in front of the throne of grace. that had to be some homecoming, man. So Elisha, now all of a sudden he's left behind. All of us have felt that. You know, all of us has felt that. We've had to say goodbye to somebody that's had a large impact in our life. You know, Dad passed away in 2011, and Mom passed away, you know, almost 10 years later, 9 years later. And, many of you have gone through, you've buried both your parents. And I don't know how else to describe it, but, you know, when Dad passed away, I mean, it was hard, but you still got a parent. And then when your second parent passes away, you wake up the next day and you feel like you're an orphan. You know, I don't know how else to say it. It's like you feel like an orphan, you know, because I've always had Mom, I've always had Dad. I can always pick up the phone. I can always drive down, sit in the living room, talk to them about something, you know. But, I kind of picture Elisha. Because you may think, well, he catches the mantle and he's, yeah, but I think there's also just that moment of loneliness. Because did you hear what he said there? He cries, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now, okay, so you kind of feel like you're alone. You kind of feel like you've been left. You're kind of like, really, Lord? I could have used them a while longer. But then you know what? I think there's something that God says to us in those moments. Listen to me. By the way, young people, listen to me. I think God kind of said to me after I buried my last parent, well, I gave him to you a long time. But son, it's time for you. It's time for you to grow up. Okay, it's time for you to stand up. Okay, they're not there anymore, so it's time for you to work a little harder to make up for it. And, you know, let me just say to our church, as we watch an older generation pass away, you know, I don't know what 2025 holds. None of us know. You know, we may have just done the only funeral we'll do in 2025. That's okay with me. That would be fine with me. Probably not. And the thing about it is, folks, young couples and middle-aged people, it's easy kind of just, you know, as long as you have a generation ahead of you, it's easy to kind of just hold back a little, let them, hey, sooner or later, you know what time it is? Stepping up time. It's time to pick up the mantle. Sorry, Elijah's not there to call down fire on top of Mount Carmel and face down the false prophets, but the false prophets are still there. Okay, Elijah's not there to climb up on a mountain in the drought through prayer. But you know what? There's going to be droughts that need to be ended. And, you know, embrace it. My father, but he's gone. All right, so what do? Well, look what he dropped. I'll pick it up. And I'll go over to the same river, and I'll strike it. And I'll say, where's the Lord God of Elijah? I love it. Elisha just still felt like, I'm gonna invoke the name of the generation that went before me. And nothing wrong with that. Think about that. So Elisha's left behind, but he's not left empty-handed. Elisha's left behind, but he's not left empty-handed. He has, think about what he has. He has in his heart a fresh call of God upon his life. At that moment, all of a sudden, the reality of, son, you can't hide in his shadow anymore. You got to step up. It's your turn. He has in his heart a fresh call of God upon his life. Number two, he has in his mind the memories gained by serving a man of God and under a man of God. He's got all of that in his mind. He has in his hand the mantle that was left behind. Think about that. And he has upon his life the power of God, a double portion of Elijah's spirit that he can now use to carry out the will of God for his life. Now, this isn't the beginning of the message. This is just the summary. Stay with me. What are the lessons? What should we take home with us? Number one, when you get to the end of your life, by the way, let's think about Elijah for a minute. When you get to the end of your life, you're going to be glad if you spend it being faithful to the Lord. You're going to have quite the homecoming. So just stick in there. Be faithful. All right. Number two, it is not man worship to learn and be loyal to older men of God. I'm honestly a little tired of a bunch of people with a rebellious spirit and an unwillingness to be submissive to anything or anybody in their life. And don't spiritualize it with me. Well, I follow God. I don't follow man. Tell your boss that tomorrow. Oh, by the way, sir, do you want your wife to have that attitude? Well, the Bible's full of commands in which we in human relationships need to be submissive and follow. Okay? So don't get that arrogancy about you. Okay? Thank God for the older men of God that I sought out and served under. And by the way, I wasn't standing over by the walls of Jericho watching it. I was right in the shadow with them. I just decided if there was an opportunity to be near somebody that had spent their life living for God, I was going to stand right in the shadow. And I was going to listen and learn everything I could from them. Let me give you this. Young people, number three. Young people, learn everything you can from the generation that came before you. All of us need to do that. Every one of these senior saints have something that they could teach you and something that would help you to be better and maybe some things that would help you from making some mistakes you really don't need to make. How about this? Older folks, while you are doing the will of God for your life, take the time to invest in the next generation. Because, yes, young people need the older generation, but older generation, listen, let no man despise thy youth. Don't undervalue young people. Invest in the younger generation. How about this? Every generation ought to desire to accomplish more than those that went before them. Now, if you're not careful, you can listen to Elisha and his request and think, well, that's a little arrogant. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. But you know what? If you think about it, folks, it makes sense that every generation ought to do more than the previous generation. And my mom and dad were first generation Christians, didn't get saved until they were 26 years of age. You know, think about that. Well, you know what? I got to receive Christ as a child. I had a head start. Shame on me if I don't accomplish more. You know why? Because I have the opportunity to learn everything from that generation and then add to it. And then I look at the third generation Christians and the fourth generation Christians. You shouldn't be doing less for the Lord. You ought to be doing more. I want the young adult class and I want that generation of Christians in this church to outwork and outperform and see greater miracles than we ever saw. That ought to be normal. You know, that ought to be normal. How about this last one? The only thing that, I think I already said this, but the only thing that would top a fiery chariot ride to heaven would be to get to go up in the rapture. Oh, this is an amazing chapter. I hope you've been helped tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. And Lord, we kind of cover what we can. And I know there's things we probably bypassed and rushed past. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for a man by the name of Elijah. Lord, we're there to read the very first time he was mentioned in the scriptures. And now, Lord, here we are at the end of his life as he's swept away. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll go into the New Testament and see that he left a legacy. He left a testimony. And Lord, his life impacted generations beyond the one that he lived in. And so, Lord, I pray that we would continue to learn from these great men of God and great women of God in the Bible. So much that we can learn. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to, dear God, cement some of these truths and take them home and wonder over them and ponder them, we pray in Jesus' name.